Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and thanks again to all of you who gave end-of-year gifts in our one-day on-air fundraiser yesterday and all this month. It'll be a great help in 2009. We don't take your support for granted, especially during a recession, and we will do our best to make this station worth your while in the new year. Thanks again, everybody. Now, there's not a lot you can get for a dollar these days, maybe a cup of coffee, a New York Post, a bag of chips. But one young couple in California made up their minds last fall to try to eat all of their meals on a dollar a day for a month. That's a dollar a day each, not between them, we should say, without any handouts, for 31 days. They blogged about their experiment on $1dietproject.com, $1dietproject.com. And they join us by phone from their homes in Encinitas, California. Carrie, Christopher, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show. Hello from New York. Can you hear us, guys?
Yeah, we can hear you just great.
Okay, so Chris, why do this?
Well, you know, it really just started as the result of us being at the grocery store and seeing how high our bills were. And in addition to that, you know, I'm a social justice teacher at a local high school, and the contrast of what we were spending at the store versus what, you know, a billion people on the planet have to deal with on a daily basis was pretty stark. And so I thought, hey, you know, I wonder if we could do something similar just to see and learn from. So it started kind of as a learning experiment, and I wasn't sure Carrie would go through with it, but after a few months, she was ready for the idea, so we tried it in September.
Oh, Carrie, he had to recruit you into this?
He did have to recruit me. In fact, I kept telling him, stop telling people about it. We're weird enough.
And we're not doing it. Okay, you are. So what was a typical day's menu, Carrie? What did you actually eat for a dollar a day?
Well, one thing, we ate oatmeal every morning for breakfast, and it was oatmeal with nothing on it, so just plain oats and water with a little bit of salt. Lunch was usually a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on homemade bread, and that was one tablespoon of peanut butter and one tablespoon of jelly. And then dinner, I think our most common dinner was beans and rice with homemade tortillas.
Just beans and rice with homemade tortillas.
Just beans and rice with homemade tortillas.
And when you wanted a splurge, you know, to have the 60-cent dinner instead of the 49-cent dinner, Chris, what did you eat then?
Well, Carrie did most of the cooking, thankfully. And so we had polenta, which she made from cornmeal with some tomato sauce over it. And then we were at one point able to get a little bit of lettuce and, you know, some carrots. It turned out to be like, you know, a quarter of a heart of romaine and a quarter of a carrot with some dressing we got from the 99-cent store. I think we spent 50 cents on some dressing that they had there, which was actually organic, which is kind of funny. But that would be more of a splurge, something, you know, with some type of nutrients in it that were not from the white food group.
You were vegan, I gather, before starting the dollar-a-day diet, yes?
Absolutely. Yes.
And do you think that made it easier, Carrie?
I think so. I think we would have had, I mean, if you look at the price of cheese or milk or meat, I think that it would have been difficult for us to fit that into our budget. As it is, we had to cut out soy milk. We cut out all like meat alternatives except for ones that we made ourselves.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, meat really is a luxury worldwide. I mean, most of the world is not eating meat because it's just far too expensive. Our country has the wealth that we can do that, and we subsidize it for a low cost. But, I mean, we're really the exception in that case.
Do you think, Carrie, that your diet was healthier as a result of your dollar-a-day restrictions? I mean, you couldn't get much biodiversity in there, it sounds like. And, you know, if you were having peanut butter and jelly every day for lunch, it's cheap, it's vegan, but eh.
Right. I don't think that we were getting the nutrients we needed. As Christopher stated earlier, when we were able to get vegetables, it was carrots and lettuce. And that was pretty much what we ate in terms of vegetable, aside from some pureed canned tomatoes in some sauces that we made. But I don't think that it was a healthy diet. And overall, we've actually had doctors comment on our blog saying that it's a good thing that we stopped when we did, because had we carried this on longer term, it would have had health effects for us.
One listener writes, I assume this is what President Bush meant in 2003 when he mentioned retraining American workers to compete with those in India and China.
I don't don't know, but I would love to talk to President Bush about some of the same issues here, but I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think that one of the most profound things is just the response we've gotten. You know, we didn't do this to gain attention. We did this to see if we could do it and learn from it. We made the blog just for friends and family to kind of follow us along. But the readers, and ever since the New York Times picked it up a little while ago, they read the blog. Tons of different people read the same thing, almost a million visitors now, and they come to completely different conclusions. You know, you got some people who say, this proves that you can eat well on a dollar a day, and then you've got other folks who say, this proves that you can't eat well on a dollar a day.
On your blog, you discourage others from replicating your experiment, saying that, quote, it isn't healthy and could be dangerous, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to do this necessarily just to save money or to do it to be healthy, because, I mean, while, you know, you might save some money, you're definitely sacrificing some of your health, assuming that you're eating a well-balanced diet to begin with.
And I think there...
Go ahead, Carrie.
Sorry, I was going to say, I think there are elements of it that you could incorporate into a well-balanced diet. So, for example, Christopher and I, the way we were able to do it is not necessarily the way somebody living in poverty would be able to do it, because we had first of all, the mobility to get around and to be able to shop prices, but then also we were able to buy in bulk ahead of time, and then we rationed out what we ate. So certain elements of it, I think, could be incorporated into a healthier diet. Christopher and I we had tacos last night from homemade beans and rice, and I think elements of that could be incorporated in, but definitely not just as the dollar as a whole.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, a lot of folks say, well, this isn't, not a lot, I'd say a few maybe on the blog say, this doesn't accurately portray poverty, and, you know, and we totally agree with those comments. You know, it's absolutely true that we had the luxury to play around with our diet and to play around with the economics of our food, which, you know, brought us to more questions than answers. And basically the question we're left with now is, what does it cost to eat well in America, which is kind of the crux of a book that we're working on. So we've got some new experiments lined up, but, you know, the comments are really great. They're fascinating. We got a few this morning, and a lot of people, not a lot, maybe a few, were upset that one day I talked about Sarah Palin, you know, because it was back in September, if you remember.
How could you not?
Yeah, and right. You know, it's like she gives you so much stuff to work with, you know, and all of it's funny. So I don't know.
You betcha. Now, listeners, coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll be discussing how 2008, recession and all, was a record year for tourist visitors to New York City. So we've posted a question on our webpage for those of you who work in the tourism industry. If you work in the tourism industry, are you feeling the recession yet? Do you see it out there in tourist New York if you work in the tourism industry? Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, answer the question. If you work in the tourism industry, are you feeling the recession yet? And we'll take stock of that coming up in about 5 minutes, as soon as we finish up here with Christopher Greenslate and Carrie Leonard, founders of the $1 a Day Diet Project blog. And again, they say, don't try their experiment for yourself because it could be unhealthy and dangerous. But we're hearing the health reasons, the economic reasons, really the social justice reasons that they did this, to draw some attention to the things that they wanted to draw attention to. And from our webpage, somebody writes a menu suggestion. Rather than eating a little bit of this every day, a little bit of oatmeal every day, a little bit of peanut butter every day, they say make a great lentil veggie potato soup and eat it for days.
We didn't make lentils. We actually weren't able to find lentils in a – what we found was the larger package that you buy, the less cost it is per ounce. And we actually weren't able to find lentils that we could afford at this time. And again, prices have changed even since we've done this, and we only looked at certain stores in our area. But we did make a fantastic potato broccoli soup and a bean soup one day, and we did eat. And most of the items that we ate, so for example, when we made refried beans, a pot of refried beans lasted us for four meals. So we did eat across the days.
Right. And somebody else on our webpage writes, comparisons to global poverty are a bit distorted because of the variation in purchasing power of a dollar here versus the developing world. They mean that a dollar actually goes much further in a developing world country.
Yeah, no, that's maybe likely true. I would need to do a little more homework to see that. But, you know, I read an article this morning, I think it was in the Richmond Post-Dispatch out of Virginia, where actually the last line of the article contradicts that sentiment. And I was surprised by that, because you do think that the dollar is more powerful than, you know, whatever a currency would be in a third world country. So I think there's maybe some credibility to that, but I think it's also probably a bit more complex. What it costs to live in our country is also far more expensive than what it costs to live in another country. They're very different societies.
We'll give out your blog address again in a minute, and actually we have a link on our page, so you can go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to see their stuff. But all your recipes are on your blog. Do you have a favorite?
Well, Carrie's the cook, so she probably has one that's her favorite to make. I really enjoyed the chana masala. I love Indian food, so I thought that was great. And the tortilla soup that she made was brilliant also. I don't know, Carrie, what do you think?
I actually didn't like the tortilla soup, but I like the polenta. It was simple and delicious, actually.
Chris, Carrie, interesting experiment. You made some interesting points. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And again, you can see their $1 a day diet project blog link on our homepage on our Brian Lehrer Show page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And when we come back in a minute, we'll talk about this record year for tourists in New York City. Is the tourism industry immune from the recession? Stay tuned.